Hey guys, and welcome to today's episode of Give It The Beans. Wherever you are in the world, I hope you are well. The first 4 weeks of the UK bodybuilding season are done. And let me tell you, what a 4 weeks it's been for the team. In total, the team has bagged 42 top threes, and out of that, 36 of them have been in the top two. Right, so 22 firsts, 14 seconds. What that equates to is about 85% of the total results achieved have been top two. And it's been, you know, it's been tiring for sure this past weekend with NABBA Scotland on Saturday in Glenrothes and driving straight to Glasgow for PC Scotland on the Sunday. It's a whirlwind of emotions when you have, you know, about 9 people competing, 10 people competing each weekend. But it's been so much fun, so much fun, and I'm just reminded how in these past 4 weeks how grateful I am to do what I do and call it work, and to be there for a lot of special moments for clients, to be part of that moment for them forever for their history is it's truly something special, and it's so rewarding. And of course, in these past 4 weeks, there have been some tough moments as well that are moments that myself and athletes will learn from. You know, I put a lot of the wins and stuff out on Instagram, but what I guess you don't see is that the results that don't go our way, they just eat me alive all week. And I always look and think back to, is there anything more I could have done from a coaching perspective to change that result at any time during the whole prep or the peak or anything else in between? Often come back down to the fact that maybe that was just the result was fair and we were beaten by better people, but I think that any good coach will always do that and will always think that. But before you know it, you haven't got much time to think before you're right round to the next weekend, which will be ahead for me at IBFAL at Gelly Saturday, and then BPA on the Sunday, another double header, and then the week after that another double header again at NFM UK in Glasgow, in Falkirk, sorry, and then on the Sunday, UKP in Glasgow, which again, in the next 4 weeks, you know, we've had about 12 people step on stage so far in these first 4 weeks. In the next 4 weeks, and 11 people step on stage. So the tally that we have for top threes and wins and all that will no doubt continue to rise. But the great thing is having videoing it all. We have had a videographer, Will. Shout out to Will from Dedicated Productions. If you don't know him, follow him. You'll see his stuff soon enough on my Instagram and on the YouTube channel. The first vlog will be Granite City, which was the first Scottish show of the season. And then we vlogged NABBA there and PCA Scotland. And then the next set of vlogs will be the doubleheader weekend of NFM UK and UKUP. If you aren't from the UK, a lot of this will maybe sound like complete gibberish in the acronyms I'm speaking in, but the acronyms are just like the names of the federations. So PCA is Physique Culture Association, UKUP is Ultimate Physiques United Kingdom, and NFM UK is Next Fitness Model UK. I think that's what that stands for. I've never actually had to say those acronyms out loud. I bet you I've said them wrong. I'm not going to go back and delete them and check. I'm just going to leave that as it is. But I tell you, it's been phenomenal. And I think when people ask me, I coach a lot of young prep coaches that are my clients who want to compete and stuff. And they always ask me how you can manage to fit so many clients in one show. And I think that it gets easier the more you do it. See, the easy part is prepping someone, is getting them lean enough, peaking them, getting them full enough, trying to fit in the criteria. The hardest part, or the toughest part, is managing people's emotions, right? Managing the expectations, the result, if it was a tough one, then what they are thinking the night of, straight after, the next day, what that does to dictate their direction moving into the next week. That, I feel, is the hardest part, and I think that you just have to be a people person to get them all over the line successfully, and then get them to keep going when perhaps things haven't went our way. And that's what I think separates a good coach from a great coach. But anyway, I understand that this is a time period where some of you may be going into an off-season. You may have ended your competitive season for whatever reason. You're either just finished or you feel satisfied, or that was your last plan of shows or whatever it may be. And you're going into a post-show period. Now, I've done multiple podcasts on this before, but I'm just doing more of a current one for anyone that's just new to the channel and hasn't scrolled back and listened to any old episodes. This one should be a golden nugget for you if you've just finished competing. And for a lot of you listening, you may have never competed before. This might be the first time you're experiencing this, the first time you experience prep, and you go back to the podcast I spoke about how you feel at 6 weeks out, how to get through the last 4 weeks, and that was all new to you. Well, what you're away to start experiencing is all new to you as well. What do I mean by that? Well, up to now, if you finish your season, you would have an incredibly urge and a drive to eat, but you will have gotten to the point where you'll have ignored it, and at times maybe not even recognise that you're hungry. Now, what you must be aware is that post-show, you will probably be hungrier because you will focus on it and you now no longer need to be hungry. So you'll have an even bigger drive and desire to eat, and that will not go away for about 2 to 3 weeks, right? You get something called leptin resistance, which is just a fancy way of saying your body doesn't recognize when you're full. So you literally, if you were to go for it, you eat to the point until you feel sick. So this is where if you did that every single meal and every single day until you felt satisfied, you're going to gain a lot of body fat very, very quickly. But because you have now got the shows out the way, there's no longer that reason and that desire to avoid overeat. Not eat more and want to feel. Some people chase that full and satiated feeling. I say, look, nothing that you do at this point will make you feel satiated, make you feel full, right? You're always going to be hungry. So it's a very intense phase. And in my opinion, it's harder than the post. It's harder than prep. Without a shadow of a doubt, harder than prep. Because the biggest reason of why you weren't eating more was shows, and it's done. So then you go, well, I'm still hungry, and you still want to eat. So this is where there's a couple of things I would do to try and combat this. Number one is I wouldn't go change any of the food sources you were eating on your prep. I would just have more of them, right? I'd have a lot more, and I typically drive calories up quite aggressively post-show. But I wouldn't go introducing loads of foods that'll help, that would maybe give you a lot of digestive problems, bloating, constipation, whatever it may be. Stick to the foods that you know. After, of course, a couple, like once you finish your show, I always say have, 3 days off and then get back on a plan. In those 3 days, try and eat like an adult, but get all your cravings and all that shite out of the way and then get back on plan. And it's really in this point where I feel like you need to be jumping on a call within 48 hours of your season being finished and having a chat with your coach about a plan moving forward. They need to obviously describe to you what's ahead and how hungry you're going to be and how you're going to cope with it. How you cope with it, in my opinion, would be is that keep your routine exactly as it was prior to your show. So still train at the same time, still eat at the same time, still go and do your steps at the same time. You're just obviously going to be doing less steps, less cardio, or none at all, or whatever. And then that way it's just all routine and it's habitual in nature and you know what's coming. But you also, I feel on that call, must assess the season, must then formulate, like coach gives you feedback, describe what went wrong, what went well, what needs to be done to do better next time, but then also set some goals. So like when are you going to go back on stage? What's the time frame going to be? What does the next phase look like? How long are you going to push for? Are you going to push for the rest of the year? When are you going to recomp again? When would you expect to be recomping again? When would you expect to see, X, Y, and Z? That all needs to be in front of you, because for the past like 2 years or 6 months or whatever, that's all you've seen. As you followed a structure and you followed a certain routine that's been laid out in front of you of where you'll be and when you'll do it. Now, if you don't have that, it is so, so easy to feel completely lost, to feel like almost a loss of identity. If you were to stop training and stop moving forward with bodybuilding, I guarantee you'll feel lost, and I've done it. And I've seen it happen so many times over the years for competitors, from even past clients that have just decided, nope, that's them. And then they've come back after a couple of months because they, as I said, they've felt lost. But this is where I think that the goals that you now set, now that might be, okay, you know what, I'm going to come back and I want to come back in 2026 and you know what, I want to fucking win a PCA regional, or I want to win an overall, or I want to win this title, or whatever it is. Like, it's okay to have those goals and that's cool, but you then need to understand what you need to do to achieve those goals. And it's all going to come back to performance-based goals, isn't it? Because bodybuilding is all about adding muscle. And how do you add muscle? You have to get stronger. So that's where I always say is, look at your logbook. Of course, change the training as and when need be. Look at the logbook and set targets. Set targets of where you want those lifts to be in the next 6 months. Now, in the first 4 weeks, it's a very sort of fragile period. You ain't going to be hitting any PBs. You're just going to be feeling good off of more food and regaining body fat until you have the body fat on you and you don't have the central nervous system fatigue that you're able to then go hit PBs. And that's probably going to come at about 4 weeks post-show, right? Don't be trying to hit PBs the week post-show. You're just going to, it's just silly and you're just going to get injured. But what you'll do is you'll say, right, where do I want my hack squat to be in 6 months' time? Where do I want it to be in 12 months' time? And some people disagree with me and say, like, you know, bodybuilding's not a, it's not a sport that you should be too focused on strength. But I feel like at a very elite level, I feel like you could say that. At an amateur level, I feel like you must be obsessed with getting stronger. Because you look at any person that's big in any of the professional leagues, whether it's IFBB or PCA Pros and that, they're all really fucking strong. There's one common theme between them all, is that they're all really fucking strong. And usually a lot of them, you know, have very good form as well and kept all the tissue. But I often feel that you've looked at yourself in the mirror for so long, and a lot of it has been, your goals has been down to the visual representation of how you look, perhaps trying to pull down to a certain weight on the scales and look lean. You now must accept that to progress, you have to feel soft. You have to be soft. You have to remind yourself that before you prepped, you'd never been this lean before, and you felt comfortable back at your off-season weight. One of the biggest things that I feel for is when a female feels very good within her skin. She feels confident, sexy, you know, really like lots of body positivity with her clothes on and off, and perhaps before she starts her prep. She goes through a prep, then after it is still like 5-6 kilos below where she was at, but is such a negative body image about herself and talks down about herself. It's such a shame. But sometimes the sport will do that. But I think that with good coaching, you can, I'm not saying stop that, but you can make that chance of happening much less by simply like removing the scales. You know, females see the scales go up, they freak the fuck out. And really dislike that. So sometimes I'm like, just remove that stress for a wee while, just get them to go back into their sort of off-season wardrobe. They should definitely have a prep wardrobe and an off-season wardrobe, right? Don't be buying loads of shit on prep and then trying to fit into it post-prep, because when you're on prep, like, your waist's supposed to be small, like your pants may fall off you, everything may just feel massive. If you try and wear, if you buy smaller clothes and try and wear them when you're in off season, you're just going to have that. Like, body positivity is all about how our clothes feel on us, right? Well, not all, but like part of it. How we feel within our skin is how our clothes fit us. So when females like that are bulking, that come and say, Vaughn, you know, I don't feel great about myself having to move up like shirt size. I'm like, why the fuck does moving up a shirt size matter how you feel within yourself? It should just be, if you remove this, the actual tag of the size it was, it would just be, how does that feel on you? Does it fit well? You know, the leggings, does it fit well around your glutes? Or crop top, does it fit well around your delts and your back and stuff? Like, that's the way it needs to be. So maybe you move away from visual based goals. You're still going to need to look at yourself, just you're not going to need to put a pair of heels on every morning and do a check-in, or put a bodybuilding thong on, or men's physique shorts and do a check-in. You'll be able to just actually lie in and not have to get the heels on or whatever every single morning. But definitely having that chat about performance-based goals. Now, I do feel that check-ins still need to be quite regular with your coach post-show. you know, every couple of days, just making sure, having a chat. It doesn't need to be like visuals, but just having a chat about like, how you're feeling, how's things going. Then after that, maybe pulling it down to Monday, Wednesday, Friday, after, let's say, 3 or 4 weeks. And then after that 4 weeks, maybe twice a week, and then eventually just back down to once in an off season. Unless you're seasoned, right? I got some athletes I've worked with for 4 years. I got some that worked for 7, and literally once they finish competing, that week after till the following week, you're lucky if I hear from them maybe twice, right? Just because they've spoke to me so much in the time period, not in a bad way, but some of them I train with in the gym as well. But yeah, some of them are just, you know, we're not needing to do the check-ins all the time, and they're happy and content and they're experienced. But with the first timers, they need a bit more support, in my opinion. And that's going to stem from doing regular check-ins with your clients. Now, another way I think that will help you post-show is, I'm going to say, keeping yourself busy. What do I mean by that? Well, some people will often, and I think one of the worst things to do is like, oh, I've booked a holiday for immediately after I finish competing. I'm like, that is the fucking worst thing to do. Because you go away on a 5-star all-inclusive, you will eat and eat and eat and eat. And your attitude will be, well, fuck it, I'm on holiday, I deserve it. Opposed to, I would say, right, for the first 4 weeks post-show, I think it's absolutely fine to have stuff booked in and events booked in, like family weekends or meals out with friends, social occasions, things of that nature that you'll have to look forward to. Because the last thing you want to do is you've had like a month of shows where you've just, you know, went back to back to back, or maybe whatever it is, had a run of shows over a few weeks. And you're used to that, like, high and low, like build up to the show, buzz in, done the show, Monday comes, boom, flatlining again, come back down, Tuesday still low, Wednesday, oh fuck, come close, Thursday, oh boom, carbs are going in, fucking hell, we're climbing again. And that goes away. So there can be an incredible time period where you do kind of feel a little bit low, but to avoid that, it's like, right, well, maybe Saturday, I'll book a meal with my partner, we'll go out, or we'll get a babysitter, we'll do this, we'll have a nice wee spa weekend away here, or a night away there. Have it in the diary. So crucial. I think sometimes getting that in the diary as you're going through prep, towards the back end of it, you know, booking it with your partner and make sure, like, right, look, this is what we've got to look forward to. And what it means is that as you, as you're trying to just deal with the incredible hunger pans and the cravings and whatnot that come post prep, it's easier to be resilient and not give in when you know, like, oh, okay, well, actually, we're going out to Miller and Carter on Saturday, and you know, that's our, we're going to get a Domino's together on Friday night or whatever. Like, I'm going to, that's my meal, and I'm going to stick to that. Opposed to thinking like, oh, well, yeah, I just took 2 or 3 weeks off after prep, because you'll just sit all day and you'll just, like, you'll think the whole time, I don't want to be hungry, I want to feel full. But I'm here to tell you now, you're not going to feel full. And if you do, it's because you've eaten too much and you're going to be sick. What I'd suggest you do is you slow down the rate at which you eat, right? There's a incredible need and want to just finish that food very quickly, but if you sit and you actually take 15-20 minutes to finish a meal, I guarantee you won't overeat. You'll simply not feel satisfied, but feel enough to then continue on with your day. But having those dates in the diary is often what gets you through. But also, I'd continue to communicate with the other bodybuilders or competitors or athletes or friends that you met around your season, because you're not going to be the only one that's struggling. Often what we do, or the trend that I see with people post-show when they're struggling, is sometimes they, number one, they feel embarrassed. Number two, they don't want to tell anyone about it, right? So they try and sort it themselves, but then ends up making it worse. So I would say, well, number one, be open and honest with your coach, chat about it, understand that we've done this enough times before with enough people that we know what's coming. You don't have to hide it. You chat to us about your feeling, and your mental health will be in a much better position if you actually have a chat about it with us. Number two is speak to others around you that are going through the process as well. How are they coping with it? How are they struggling? I guarantee they won't tell you the full shebang. They'll hide a little bit. But if you're close enough, they'll probably open up to you as well. And going through something together can often feel better than going through something alone, or feeling like you're going through something alone when you're not. In reality, anyone that competes for the first time will struggle post-show. I did, and I don't know anyone that smashed their first ever post-show and reversed out properly. You know, for me, reversing out post-show, it's not a thing. It's a case of get you back up to some sort of maintenance level, and get, like, I'm trying to put body fat on you, So you're going into a little bit of, you're trying to go into a little bit of a surplus, so you gain body fat. If, like people say, I'll go back up to maintenance. Well, maintenance would be where you were at before you competed, right? So let's say your stage weight hypothetically was 52 kilos. So if you want to go back to maintenance, you tell me that you're going to go back to 52 kilos. Nah, fuck that. You're going to go into a surplus and get back up probably closer to, like, say, the 60 kilo mark or whatever. Especially if you're a female, you're trying to regain some of your menstrual cycle health back or whatever it may be, your normal enzymatic bodily function back as well. You need body fat for that. So yeah, you're going to be, in my opinion, going back into a surplus. Another strategy I strongly recommend would be to not have, like, don't buy loads of shit and keep it in the cupboard because you'll eat it all. I'll say that because I've done it. You're like, right, post-show, I'm going to buy fucking, I love packets of crisps. So what I'm going to do is buy a multi-pack. I'm going to keep it in the cupboard. I'm going to have one packet a day just because that's going to sort my cravings out. I'm going to fit it into my calories, my fitness pal, and boom, job's good. Guarantee, once you've had one bag, you'll eat the whole fucking 12 in a row. 100% will. So my best bet to you is that don't keep anything in the house that you don't feel you can control yourself around. Now, that control might be like ice cream, chocolate, or whatever. If it's there, you will eat it all and then you will feel guilty about it after. So what you'd rather do is don't, for the first 4 weeks, don't keep anything in the house if you can't trust yourself, or if you do need to, ask your partner to hide it. I've had people do that though and then said, well, I knew my partner hid it and I went and searched for it and I found it and I fucking ate it all, right? So sometimes that strategy doesn't really work that well. The best thing to do, just like you did on prep, keep the food sources the same. If you want anything extra, it means you need to go out and buy it, and just actively trying to, like, go out and buy it will stop you doing it, no doubt, and you will be able to incorporate any extra food into what we, you know, some may call cheat meals, but I would call them off-plan meals. And sometimes you can have a chat with your coach and you can have a couple of off-plan meals a week that, in the, you know, post-show, that would work absolutely fine. One maybe more sort of cleaner one, like a wee Nando's or like chicken wrap and rice or something, and then one that's maybe a bit dirtier, maybe it's a sort of some sort of Indian takeaway or curry or a Chinese takeaway or a kebab or whatever it might be, that could easily be incorporated into like a post-show period. But I just wanted to sort of finish off and just say that you may listen to this, right, and then you may think, right, I'm going to smash my post-show period, but then you might not, and you might just fuck it. What I'd say is, if you fuck it, it's all right. It's not the end of the world, right? No one, and I repeat, no one is perfect in a reverse, particularly from their first time. I know I wasn't. I remember, I'll tell you a story. My first coach, one of the first coaches I had, his name was James Sutton, and he worked at M10, but I was working with him online at the time. And I moved from a coach who put me on stage at the time to James. And James's check-in process at the time was FaceTime calls. And I remember it was after 1 week or 2 weeks, I said to him, James, I'm really, really embarrassed. I can't stick to these calories, like, I keep overeating. And the main reason was is that I'd bought a load of junk, I'd kept it in the house, and I was like, I'll have one, and then I'd have a whole packet. So there came a time when I just went, I just binned it all. I took it to the bin outside, binned it all. Then that stopped that. And then it was eventually after the third week, it was like a flick of a switch. And I was like, right, I feel fine. You know, my calories are in a good spot. I don't feel like a bottomless pit. And I feel like I can control it. And that was my first season. Then the second time I got lean, it was a bit easier, right? I felt okay sooner. And the third time I did it, I'm not saying it was easy, but I knew what to expect. And excuse me, I never overreached. So yeah, that's kind of my two cents of what to do post-show and some post-show strategies that I think will help you have a successful reverse out of your show or successful post-show period. I'm not saying that you need to have one, and what I've said is that it's a-okay if you don't, and if you do fuck up, it's not the end of the world. So that is it for me, guys. I understand there's a lot of you that aren't post-show, that are maybe just getting started, or have a few more shows in your season left. But I hope that this episode is one that does help you whenever your season does finish and you decide to wrap up your run of shows or whatever it may be. I know that for me, You know, this season is only just getting started. It's just one month that it's done, and there is a multitude of shows left to go for the rest of the year. And I honestly, I can think of where the top threes are going to be by the end of the year, but at the same time, like, man, like, that's going to be, it's going to be nuts. But I definitely think that the team could probably produce somewhat close to 150 top threes for one season, which would be incredible, and I would be super grateful to be part of that. But wherever the number is, it doesn't fucking matter. It's an arbitrary number, and it's probably, it's a selfish, you know, endeavour for me to want to be the best prep coach in the UK and have the accolade, but that is something that I do set, have my eyes set on. But it doesn't take away from the athletes that maybe it shows haven't placed. It's maybe the best they've ever looked, and we've just been perhaps been beaten by some better athletes. And I still love being part of those moments, but I'm still gutted for the athlete at the time. I'm like, right, what can I do for them to be better, and then for them to grab a placing and whatnot? And the reason I'm like that is because it's a fucking sport and we all want to do well, right? I know I've been a competitor before as well, and everyone wants to win, everyone wants to place, and I want that from athletes too. So I'm going to wrap things up there, guys. Wherever you are in the world, I hope you're well. If you see me at shows here soon, again, please come and grab me. But whatever you do, give it the big beans, the whole beans, and nothing but the fucking beans.